Unexplained Incorporated is expanding. More topics of the metaphysical and the spiritual will be explored than ever before. These conversations will be more casual, like meeting up for coffee with your favorite mate. Sit down, relax, kick back, and open up as we expand at the Consciousness Cafe.
Yes, true believers, we are back for another edition of the Consciousness Cafe. Thank you for the response to the first episode that aired just the other week with my man Gio from New Jersey. That was a lot of fun, and we're going to be doing a lot more of these, myself and Lauren. If you're wondering why the audio sounds a little bit different today, is I'm recording with today's guest in person, which is something I rarely ever get to do. And it's really exciting, and I'm recording into my phone. So if the audio is a little off compared to a normal show, this is why. And I just advise you get used to it, because I'm going to be doing a lot more of these the more this segment rolls on. And I'm very excited to say that this is coming to you from the first time ever from the inside of a salt room. And if you don't know what that is, I'm just going to let my guest introduce themselves and then explain this setting and exactly where we are. So you're up.
Hello, hello. My name is Christine Cardoza, and I'm the owner of Oasis of Healing Spa in Waterloo. And we're sitting in one of the salt caves here in the spa, and it's made up of Dead Sea salt, which is a negative ion, very healing, and just an opportunity. I call it the womb of the earth. It's like being in the center of the earth, or under the sea, but a dry sea.
So what are some of the benefits of being in a salt room like this? Because you have this amazing space here. You offer various treatments. What if someone's hearing about this for the first time? What would you tell them about this amazing salt cave?
In a nutshell, I would say nervous system regulation, to calm the nervous system and to allow the body to relax. Our body can only heal in a calm parasympathetic state or rest and digest state, and so it allows the body to go deeper into a healing phase or relaxation, whatever someone has come for. Usually when someone is here, they're having some kind of congestion or pain, something that's going on, and they have been recommended to come into a salt room and see if that will dry it out. And so we deal with a lot of respiratory things and that nature. But for me, I'm always curious, you know, why are you in pain and why are you here? So that's why we look deeper into the emotional body or the energy body.
That's right. And we've had this conversation before that you're trying to pull people away from the dependence and the reliance on Big Pharma, which I'm sure we will get into a little bit later on. I just wanted to mention quickly that this actually isn't the first salt cave I've been into. There used to be another one in my end of the city. And at the time, I don't even know if I told you this or not, but I was actually working in a pork processing facility. Long story how I ended up there. We'll get into that today. Some chances I took worked against me, and I had to find steady work. But I was in the cold all the time, a lot of low vibrational energy, and I was physically sore all the time from the work I was doing. I discovered this place. I would go there maybe once every 2 weeks, and it helped me with a lot of things. Unfortunately, they closed down during the pandemic, but then as soon as we started opening up and, you know, living our lives again, I discovered your place. Probably, it's getting up 9 months to a year ago. So I just wanted to ask a bit of a loaded question right now, but where do you want to start in terms of your journey on how you got to this present moment now? Because I know you've been through it, and anyone who calls themselves a healer or who runs like a holistic business, they've been through it as well. So where would you like to start, Christine?
I feel a good place to start would be my depression in 2018. That's what started really my whole inner journey, and really looking at why was I in a state of not wanting to be here, suicide ideation, and just feeling really low when I had had really incredible experiences traveling the world. And that was the start of it. And now looking back, I can see that was definitely the beginning of my spiritual awakening, or a big dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just doing this from memory. You used to be a travel agent, did you not?
I was, yes, before the lovely lockdown, which I think gave us all an opportunity to really get clear on what is important in my life or our lives. I was in travel for over 10 years, and I've traveled the world, and I've seen, I lived in Taiwan, and I lived in Costa Rica, so from a health standpoint, I was able to witness different cultures and how they would respond to different ailments that I had, and, you know, going to medical facilities in those places, and I just always have felt natural health and learning how to connect to the natural things that God has already given us is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. So outside of the different modes of healthcare you found throughout the world, what was one of, if not some of your other bigger lessons from traveling? Because I think traveling, many have said who do it on a regular basis, say it can be our best teacher.
Absolutely. I would say, you know, just the different climates and how your body feels differently in each one. And one of the coolest experiences when I was, at a time when I didn't feel good and I was having a hard time with breathing, sore throat, that kind of thing, when I lived in Taiwan, is going into one of their, I don't know what they're called. I would only, I just remember from Chinese, but where you would go into someone who has herbs, basically, and they're all in glass jars all around the whole place. And what would be the pharmacist, or like a pharmacist, a natural person putting together the different herbs, they put them into these little envelopes. It's almost like origami. Mm. They give you 7 or 8 little packets to put into hot water. And that was, I guess, you know, one of the bigger ways that my eyes were open to natural healing. My family has done that for generations, but I hadn't been introduced to herbs and healing plants in that way before.
That sounds way more like an Eastern philosophy and practice than a Western, but I think with people like you and many others, we might be seeing a shift into that. Are we seeing more Eastern healing modalities take over in the West, and where do you see that going from here?
I do see that. I think a lot of people have emigrated from Eastern traditions, and they're looking at their lineage and what their ancestors have done and are starting to be more vocal and open up and realize, wait a minute, I do have this kind of natural healing ability from my family that's been passed down generations. And so I really do feel all of us are going back to either original roots or looking at natural ways of looking after ourselves.
On that note, I have to ask you if you are a fan or maybe a collector of the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza. The only work of his I have ever read outside of watching a few YouTube videos is Becoming Supernatural. I got it as a Christmas gift, I think, before the pandemic, and it was through a friend's recommendation, and I was blown away by some of the stories of self-healing in there. So what do you think of people like him and what kind of a track they're on?
He was one of my early people. I mean, the holistic psychologist really helped me with emotions and how to process and really even look at what childhood trauma and different things that I had experienced or from my perspective. And Dr. Joe, I love him. Mm-hmm. His meditations are so great. And I had already taken a couple of classes or courses in quantum healing before I found Dr. Joe. And just the way that he explained himself, having had that bike accident, and basically they told him he'll never walk again, he'll need to be in a wheelchair, and he healed himself just by thinking, you know, about his cells and tissues and rebuilding his body basically from in that bed. And then after all the studies he had done and the brain scans and seeing how people's energies shift and move based on when they're meditating and how they feel, I think that has been huge for humanity. He's really brought so many people, I feel, into a place where they're giving themselves permission to figure out how to heal themselves or how to go within and not just wait for outside people to do it, that we really have that power.
Yeah, it's a major shift going on, especially within the last 3 to 4 years with many. Some have learned the hard way, some have been on this path all along, and we're going to be talking to more and more people like that on the show. as we do this. So you mentioned the term quantum healing. I know this is a big deal of what you do. Could you tell me a little of how you discovered that and what it entails? And if you feel like answering this, that's cool too. But like, I've said this on the show before, I'm not a big fan of the term woo-woo. I mean, I know some people use it kind of with humor and all that. I think it's kind of disparaging. And it turns people off of a lot of natural God-given abilities and healing modalities, right? And I think when you hear the word quantum, people might think, oh, it's woo-woo or it's spacey. I don't know. You know, this might be scammy. I don't know if I want to get into it. So can you just give us a crash course on quantum healing and what it is? Because I don't think I've ever asked anybody directly on the show before that I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, he likens it to quantum physics. So there's some science base behind that, which I think is very helpful for people. And when you have a thought come in and it's in the psyche, so it's before your conscious is really registering it, your body is already making some movements or adjustments based on the feelings that are going to come from what you're experiencing or what you're feeling. And it's really connecting to yourself, the inner, but also the outer. Dr. Joe does a really good job, I feel, you know, explaining in some of his meditations. It's like, if you imagine, he has one where water moves up your body. And so you're imagining your foot, but then you're imagining everything outside of yourself as well. So it's, you know, those two opposites, or if you're in space. And it's just, you know, for quantum, basically for myself, it's like an extension of Reiki. I feel more advanced. Reiki is definitely an older system. And I think for me now, I don't even follow like a system per se. I just connect to God and my intuition and what I feel is moving that energy. But with quantum, really, it's, yeah, you're just connecting to the quantum field or to the spirit realm.
Right on, right on. So what are some of the other offerings you have here at Oasis? I know we've talked briefly in the past about, is it German New Medicine, I think, if I have that term correct? And you should probably get into that one, too, because it's not one I think a lot of people here in North America, at least, are familiar with, and that and many other offerings that you have here.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, since my depression and I've been a sponge, like, how do I heal myself? How do I feel better, you know, and not feel so low? And so I've studied a lot of different modalities from, I'm not even going to name them all. I've studied a lot. And so just, you know, being able to learn how to connect to ourselves and the emotional body. That's really where the bulk of my work has been in. First, metaphysical, with the metaphysical anatomy, and that every ailment has some kind of an emotional connection, and figuring out what that is a way of processing what we've been going through. I really do feel we're to look at the whole person. So physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and environment. And the cool thing about German New Medicine is it goes right to the core root, psyche, brain, organ. And I had not seen anything to that point where it was very clear, you know, wherever the symptom is presenting in the body is connected to the body map, you know, of a place to start, whether it's separation or abandonment, isolation, something like that. And it gives someone a really good start. Plus, you can teach someone how to read their own body. And if you're okay, I'll share one little part with you on
sure.
how you can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
This will change your life forever, you know, listening to this. So if you are right-handed, meaning, you know, I always say, imagine you have a drum. So you have a drum in your hand and then the striker that's going to bang on the drum. Think of the hand that is holding the striker, or the one that's going to tap the drum. That's your more dominant hand, okay? Mm-hmm. The one that the drum is holding is your non-dominant hand. So if your dominant hand is right for a majority of people, then your left side is mother-child, and your right side is partner and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Cousins, someone who cuts you off in traffic, coworkers, siblings, your dad, any exes, that's all right side. So if you even just look at your own body or anything that you've had going on, you can already start to say, okay, you know, did I stand up for myself? Was I stronger? Did I have a conflict? And then you'll be able to know a little bit more about your environment and what's going on. That's why people can only heal themselves. No one can heal anyone. You don't go to a healer to be healed. They're really guiding you through your own process. But with that and knowing that left side is mother-child, that's really what you need to remember. Or if you're left-handed dominant, meaning the left hand is holding the striker, then it's the opposite, the brain relay. So it's the science behind the energy work that I do. And then that, if you are left dominant, then right side is mother child. Mm. So then you can just start there. Even just starting there helps people to resolve a lot of things with using German New Medicine. Now, I think Dr. Hammer did a great job studying over 100,000 brain scans on if someone was had a symptom, it showed up in the exact same spot for everyone on the brain. So then he was able to ask questions, but see patterns, and that's how he put together the body map. So you can actually go to the body map then and have a look at that part of the body or that ailment and see what is going on in your own body. So it gives you an opportunity to look at it, process it. And from what I have seen, the body's in two phases. So you're either in healing. Have you been getting stronger and sharing boundaries or, you know, strong mind, strong body? Or are you in adaptation to an uncomfortable situation? Mm. Most symptoms, 80% of them are healing. You actually resolved it already in the psyche and your body's just doing its natural healing thing it's been doing for millennia. Or there's parts where the other 20% is you are still in conflict and that's when you have pain. Mm. So it's just knowing the body. And if you are hot, you're in healing, your body's warming up to heal, then you want to eat cooling foods. And if you're cold, you're in conflict. And so it's just like, what are you processing? And then you're going to eat warmer foods and drinks. So it's really just knowing your body and what phase you're in. I feel there's so much less fear.
Right. So this just kind of tipped off in my brain when you were saying that. And thank you for sharing all that. That's all very profound and it should provide value to someone. I see this a lot in, like, let's say my workplace and other areas of my life. People, I think, need to stop blaming their age for ailments. Like, say, if someone has back pain or their knees aren't working, they'll just say, oh, I'm getting old or whatever. And I think your response is just going to put that to bed, right?
Totally. Yeah. It really age is a number, and it depends on how you feel inside and how you love your life. Like, if things are hard or you're in a place where, you know, your body's speaking to you. It speaks for the subconscious. So if the knees, actually I'll just share with you in German New Medicine, mm-hmm. the knees is a feeling of not being good enough, either in sports or job or somewhere. Most of bones, muscles, ligaments, those sorts of things is connected to self-devaluation or low self-esteem on some area of not feeling good enough. And I feel, you know, most of us have been raised either with religion or even Santa, who keeps a list and checks it twice. And if you're naughty, right, you're not getting a gift. So it's all that conditioning and programming to keep us in a place where there's a lot of victimhood, a lot of I'm not worthy or I'm just the victim of my situations. Like, no way, you have so much control and power over what's happening, including reading your body. And so I feel, you know, above everything is if you have a really good relationship with yourself, no one's coming to save you. So if you feel really good about yourself within, strong mind, strong body, then things will start to turn around. And there are some other things you can do, you know, depending on the body part for sure. But a lot of it is psyche, brain, organ, and what you're thinking about.
100%. And I don't know if I've ever talked about this with you before, but I started doing yoga, I think it was in early 2014. Now, I've had some gaps where I've stopped for one reason or another, and I'm actually in one of those gaps right now. When I first started, I was doing a job with a lot of heavy lifting, but I also had a lot of dissatisfaction with that job and other things in my life. So I had an ailment in my lower back and an ailment in my shoulders because I was putting a lot of pressure on my shoulders. After getting out of that line of work and doing a steady yoga practice, those ailments are all gone now and shifting to like some lighter work, which I do now. Going back into a practice though, because I've been on a bit of a hiatus, I feel it in tight hamstrings and in my hips because those are the areas I need to work the most. But I just wanted to share that to show you that by incorporating some form of movement in, and yoga may not be for everybody, that I was able to get rid of some serious physical pain from like my mid-30s.
That's amazing. I mean, definitely, because with yoga, you're stretching. But I feel, you know, it's not something just to check off the list, and not saying that you're doing that, but for yoga really is to do the spiritual part of that practice, right? And really connecting. Breath is always number one. Like, you can walk yourself down out of a panic attack and also up into a delicious orgasm.
Yeah.
Breath is our best friend. It, you know, it helps us with so many things. Have you ever tried Qigong?
Is that like Tai Chi, or am I?
It's similar in a way, yeah. It's more of cupping, and you just cup all over your body. So it's spelled Qigong, and there's a really neat video on YouTube, Qigong for Beginners, and she goes through and she explains. But what's happening is you're actually moving life force energy.
Mm.
So on the outside of your arm, and you're just cupping all the way down, that's your masculine. On the inside is your feminine, and you go all the way down your legs and back up through the middle, around your kidneys and stuff. And so what you're doing is you're moving your own energy. And I challenge anyone who feels like crap to try Qigong, and you will always feel better because you've just moved all the energy, all that stagnant, maybe even emotions. You're doing something for yourself, so you're automatically going to feel better. But you just, you can't help but feel good after some Qigong. And it's only 15 minutes, the beginner video.
That's a term I'd heard a lot over the years, but I never fully explored it. That's why I was like, it was on the tip of my brain, and I had to ask. I didn't fully know what it was. I'm kind of doing something like that right now. Like, for the last 4 or 5 months, I've been on a steady routine of going to the gym 3 times a week, because that's about all I could fit in right now. And some days I'm not feeling so hot and I'm dreading going, but I've never ever finished a workout where I feel worse after. And a lot of that reason is because I'm moving that stagnant energy. So there's many different ways to do this. I have one more story to share, because it's very, very recent, since the last time we talked even. And then we'll shift more back to your story, because there's lots to tell, I know. So I attended my first ever men's only somatic breathing circle last night, and it went really well. And I obviously can't share a lot of specifics for Sacred Circle, but all the guys in there were rock stars. They totally got it. And one realization I had was that, as you well know, I'm battling through obstructive sleep apnea, and I've been for quite a few years. Oh, this is funny. Pardon me there. I got this tickle in my throat because I'm about to talk about my throat, no less. So I did some of this breath work with the same instructor in middle of February, and it was solar plexus and heart chakra stuff that was very dominant at the time. The other night, it was all about my throat, and I almost went into a coughing fit like I just did there. And I got some more insight as to where the sleep apnea came from and where it started, and how I need to vocalize to get rid of storing stagnant negative emotions, whether it's towards myself or other people or external circumstances. And I got all the tools to do that. So the coming weeks are going to be very interesting to see where that goes. But I think it just shows another example of what you were talking about, where I have some, I don't know if I'm going to call it trauma or not, but I have something in my throat that's closing up every night and is causing me to stop breathing and all that. But I may have found the root cause and what to do about it. So,
wow, that's really neat. And this is the work. This is, you know, you being able to process what's happened to you in the past, what's happening now, what are you thinking about when you go to bed. Your body just tripped into an old pattern of, you know, when you lay down, that's maybe at a time that you didn't feel safe, and so the body just tripped into that. It can also be, and I love that I can share this part, because you know the song, What's Your Zodiac Sign?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a birthday song or something. Yeah. Well, I have been dancing to that in clubs for a very long time, and now when I ask people, what's your zodiac sign? I always think of that song.
All right.
Yeah, because if you are Taurus, Gemini, that's all connected. Throat, Taurus is throat and mouth, and Gemini is lungs.
Mm.
And it can also be, you know, connected to your tissue salts, the 12 in the zodiac, or the 12 tissue salts. There are more, but that your body also can be saying, hey, I'm deficient in my minerals, if it isn't an emotional connection. So it's really, you know, again, it's looking at being able to track, is it physical, is it mental, emotional, you know, am I on a spiritual journey, or is there something uncomfortable in my environment and my body is just alerting me to something that, you know, it's asking for, wants to move through.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot to think about there for sure. You mentioned some of your inspirations and how you got into all this healing and such in your spiritual path. Is there any other mentors you'd like to give a shout out to right now that you haven't already?
I would say Dr. Hammer for sure of German New Medicine. I think he, you know, started a path that's going to totally revolutionize the medical system and us being able to read our own bodies and what that looks like. I do feel that, you know, yes, you know, processing what's happening emotionally and that, but somatics is very important to, you know, have ways of moving the emotions out. And, you know, the vagus nerve goes from the throat all the way down into the pelvic area. And so even just by humming or saying the word om and holding it as long as you can is really training your body to be calm even when there's chaos all around you. And so I think, you know, yeah, that would be my top one for sure.
On that note, I know from what I remember, you have at least one practitioner, maybe more here, that offers sound healing. What are your thoughts on sound and music as healing? I went into a big discussion with this on my guest on the first return episode on Good Friday. So how does it connect for you?
It's massive. Like, I do feel that people eventually will have rooms in their home for sound. Meditation setup, sound bowls, you know, drums, whatever feels good to them in the sound. Because all of those sounds connect to the chakras. And I really love that you know chakras and can talk about it. That warms my heart. And sound really, you know, it's helpful to move a big emotion or something that's going on. You don't even have to talk about it. Someone lays and either plays themselves, which is ideal because then the vibration is going through their body, but it is restructuring your tissues and your cells when you're listening to sound. So it's very important what we're listening to, the thoughts and emotions that we're digesting, but playing any of the instruments that are tuned to 432 hertz, not 440. 440 still keeps your brain in high beta, which is like a fight or flight state. That there's a tiger, you know, just to be hyper aware. But 432 is the sound of nature, of a forest. So that's why we always feel calm on a nature walk. So very important, even what kind of music you're listening to be sure. But sound, we say it's the wave of the future, but the future's here. Like, this is definitely where we're at now. And if you can visit a breathwork class or sound healing with bowls or gong, oh my gosh, gong is next level. It's so beautiful, you know, just to move things through your body that you're processing and your subconscious is ready to let it go, and then you have so much more room for expansion and growth.
Yeah, and just a note on that, a lot of people I've talked to this about, and I've talked about it on the show, I may have mentioned it to you in passing, but I can't remember at the moment. But I've been going to several sound healing get-togethers hosted by a good friend of mine. And in combination, in concert with my shamanic journeying abilities, so to speak, I'm tapping into what I believe are future timelines in order to give me guidance on certain decisions to make. And I've gone out of a couple of those almost crying tears of gratitude because of what I've been shown. And I know I'm on the right path because, you know, I'm not going to get into it right here because it's personal stuff, but certain things have manifested almost exactly in ways I've been shown from what I saw in that altered state from the sound healing. So there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, what's so neat about, especially if someone knows how to meditate already, or you've done breath work in the past, and then you can go into a sound journey. Sound bath, I just want to share, it has nothing to do with water. You're being bathed in sound. But what happens is you end up, if you can calm your mind and get down into a meditation or into a deeper state like theta, you go into these different states where, you know, you can jump timelines or, you know, astral travel, that kind of thing. But the whole point is that your body is relaxing to a deeper level that you, like, I've done so many and I still wake up and I'm like, where am I? Because I've just, you know, gone into this experience where you either see colors or visions, and not always, but it just, you come out of it anyways, having a deeper connection to your spirit or your divine self.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And what's interesting too is the gongs, you said. So I've been to some where there's been some gong use in action, and they're really phenomenal. If you're not able to attend one of these live wherever you're listening, go onto YouTube, and I believe it's called the Memphis Gong Chamber. There's a place in Memphis, Tennessee that has some like hour plus, hour and a half videos of just gong sound baths, and they're pretty amazing. So wanted to bring that up as well. So it's really funny too, a synchronicity I've noticed since sitting down with you is that it's about a week from now of this recording, I'm going to my first mushroom ceremony in 2 years, or close to 2 years. And it looks like your earring that's facing me has a couple of mushrooms in it. So, and I mean, we're at a point where we can't really offer these treatments through a business, you know, because things are a little bit behind the times in terms of our overall collective relationship with psychedelics. And maybe we can get into that right now for a few minutes. But what is your relationship or thoughts on them? Have you used these to heal yourself, or have you known others to use the plant medicines to heal? And I just want to know what you'd like to say about all that, because I'm sure you got lots.
Mm. Am I able to speak freely? Because we can go deep on this conversation.
Okay, yeah.
So I've only been able, like, I've only tried mushrooms one time as far as ceremony, and I didn't feel anything, but I think I was just so worried. I grew up religious, like, having been born into a Jehovah's Witness family and then Baptist, marriage and divorce, there was, like, so much, we weren't allowed, really, to do a lot of things like that. It was definitely shunned, and so I feel like I had some apprehension of, you know, what's going to happen if I do go under. I never was one for drugs growing up. I was just so afraid. Alcohol was my choice because I at least knew what I was going to receive based on how many drinks I had. But with drugs or plant medicine called, you know, when you do a journey, it really just, I think, depends on what person's intention is. I think that the medicine calls you, whether it's ayahuasca or cambo or any of the other ones. I have done rapé, where they snort it up your face. Yeah. And for me, I don't like pain. So I did have a really beautiful experience where I had a full body buzz, but it's not worth the pain for me. I don't feel I'll do it ever again, just for myself. The only thing, you know, I share with this is, like, I feel that it needs to call you. Because I feel that a lot of people can flip into, oh, I do plant medicine now, and it's a crutch. It just instead of going and getting drunk, you're going to a ceremony and you think that you're doing this holy thing for yourself. But if you're not able to do that naturally, where you can get into those deeper kind of states, and it takes time and practice, but I think that's really important for people, is like, why are you doing it? If you're doing it to heal some trauma and PTSD and all that, absolutely. And psilocybin mushrooms, you know, are really great for that, for people who've had, you know, really adverse experiences growing up and such. But I would just say, you know, really check in with yourself and why are you doing it. And if you get to a place where that's the only way that you can relax or calm or have these bigger experiences, then I invite you to do some more breathwork classes sober and sound baths sober, because you actually can train your body to go into those deep states. Mm-hmm. Or Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, teaches that, so that you're not having to use substances of any kind, that you're still able to connect to that deeper experience. And I want to share, this is really why I was asking if I could go deeper, because even with weed, I'm hit or miss with it, because sometimes I feel nauseous and sometimes, you know, I can have a nice buzz. But when you can combine that with meditation, when you're intimate with someone, you will have soul sex, I will say. Like, you're just able to go deeper, because your guard is down a little bit as far as, you know, how willing you are to be vulnerable with the person that you're with or whoever you're intimate with. But that was one of probably the most exciting and fun plant medicine experiences I had, where we had smoked some weed and then did a 40-minute meditation with, you know, sex after, it was definitely amazing.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going to circle back to the intimacy a little bit later on, because, you know, maybe to the tail end of this. But so there's a lot to unpack from what you said, and I'm mostly on board with it. Just in terms of weed, I think the last time I smoked a joint was 2009, like the night before, I think, my wedding, no less. And it was family who offered it to me. So it wasn't like, you know, or the in-laws or whatever. So it's, but it just stopped having an effect on me. When I was in, mostly in college, I started that up and then would occasionally do mushrooms because that's what my friends were doing. And I thought, oh, hey, this is a fun way to party. Mm-hmm. And I went almost 2 decades before touching mushrooms again and realizing I was doing it all wrong. I was doing it to party. I wasn't doing it with the proper intention or healing or anything. And since spring of 2022, this will be, I think, only the fourth time I've done them. So I'm not a fan of, like, microdosing daily, because to me, that's like escapism, mm-hmm. to me. And it's not the intended purpose. It's like, I set the time away. I go to a ceremony in a trusted space. I map out my intentions, and then I go big or go home. And I think you're totally right when you say that it's got to be called to you, because I've been offered chances to do ayahuasca, rapé, and cambo, and none of them have aligned to me, especially with ayahuasca. And I keep, some people keep giving me nudges, but my energetic body's like, no, you're good. You know what I mean? And if you're carrying a lot of trauma and a lot of shadow stuff, those experiences can be pretty dark. When I did my last ceremony 2 years ago, the first half of my journey was kind of terrifying because I was merging with shadow stuff and I was not prepared for it. Now, the second half was much better. And what I'm doing within a week, I think, will go much better too. But one last thing I just wanted to add on that is, in May on the show, I booked a very fascinating guest who has healed sexual traumas through psilocybin and plant medicine. So we're going to go deeper on that. One more question on this, after, you know, I was on my soapbox there. I'd heard a little while ago that one of the big tech executives, I want to say it was Peter Thiel, one of those big guys from the States, was, he might have his hand in a pharmaceutical giant as well, I can't remember, but he was going to put his hand into psilocybin and then start distributing it in a more commercial fashion. Do you think some of these executives or corporations should be getting involved with, you know, like the cannabis or the psilocybin, or should it be left alone and just be dealt kind of more locally and organically?
Well, I feel I'm even going to go back to, you know, only doing certain things in a ceremony, because I feel, you know, the more we restrict each other, or we, what will happen is, what if you go to another party and you want to, you know, partake in some mushrooms or whatever is going on, but you're in control, you feel safe with the group that you're with. I think, again, it's just like, why are you doing the thing? And if it's to have a beautiful experience or to be social, I think, it, within boundaries, right, and balance, it, you know, it's okay to partake as well. As far as the executives and incorporation, you know, then there's always some kind of hesitation around, is it just for money? Then it really loses the spiritual connection to the plant medicine. Like, when you're in ceremony, you are connecting to the medicine. Even, you know, I love one of my mentors, Rebecca Lelewin from Your Divine Roots. She smokes tobacco, but pure tobacco. And it's part of her medicine, you know, and just looking at it from her experience, and or observing her experience, that's also really beautiful too. But it's a sacred way that she is connecting. And if she chooses to do that, you know, outside of ceremony, I think that's beautiful too, because she's really just connected to the spirit of the plant. If you look at mycelium, so under the ground, it's a big network, and we are that network as well. Like, our energies read each other's energies. Mm-hmm. And so just even in connecting with that, we're all sentient beings, including the mushrooms or the tree or your apple, whatever it is, you know, all of that, everything has a frequency and that connection to us. So I feel really we're going to start to look at everything with more of a wholesome look at why we're doing it, even the food that you're eating, and realizing that if it is processed or from a drive-through, this really isn't a great frequency for my body that, you know, is helpful. Is there times for it? For sure. Again, you know, I feel it's living life from a place of pleasure and joy and bliss and really just connecting to the why you're doing things.
Yeah, well said. And you put a big smile on my face mentioning Rebecca, because you may not even be aware of this, but I met her for the very first time in the beginning of January of this year. I went to a... And this is funny because it just ties in with everything you just said. I went to what was billed as a shamanic breathwork ceremony, and she was co-hosting it with another lady. And unfortunately, with their schedules, they don't seem to be doing an event anytime soon, because I'd love to go back. But this experience she was helping facilitate, I've said this to friends and stuff, I had about as wild of an experience at that ceremony without being on psychedelics, if you know what I mean. Like, so this just goes to show you, if you get in the right state, you can have a very similar experience without the aid of all that stuff, right? And that was proof positive.
Oh man, I love this conversation. This is what I was talking about, like going to a breathwork ceremony. Rebecca's, I mean, I breathed with her for over a year. She was my mentor. I was in her year program.
Yeah.
And I feel whether she does a session online and you can be on Zoom, it's like a cinematic experience, you know, and she brings in ancestors and she walks you through an experience. She's reading the room or whoever's there. But if you're in person with her, even better.
Yeah.
And because she's using her feathers and tools and instruments, and she has held me deep, deep in ceremony where I was able to just clear out, you know, old stuff that she's, you know, just a really safe person to be with. And that goes back to, you know, if you're in ceremony in whatever capacity, is making sure that, especially if they're serving plant medicine, that they're not someone who's doing it just as the fad or something that they wanted to learn, right?
Yeah.
That there's really some deeper connection behind, and Rebecca will say that too, you know, there has been so many practitioners that have popped up, you know, definitely over the last few years, myself included. I was a travel agent before, but I feel, you know, when you're really called to go in deeper, breath is always number one, and you don't need a substance for it. Like, it will take you to places that are just so magical and transcendental, really.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, we're not swinging you one way or the other here. We're just sharing our observations. You do what's right for you in your heart at the end of the day, you know. The other woman who ran that ceremony was named Lisa Kasarin, I think her name is. Her Instagram handle changed, and it's now White Star Raven, I think. Give her a follow. I think she's from the UK originally, and she's a yoga teacher in an RMT by trade, and the studio I was at was the one she worked at. But she's also very connected to the cosmos, and while Rebecca was at the front of the room doing the sound stuff, she covered half the room and Lisa covered the back half, so I got quite a bit of one-on-one time with her during the ceremony. And also, I don't think I've ever felt more grounded than after that ceremony in my entire life, just so you know. For me, and I want to try and get both of them on the show eventually for this segment, like both one-on-one. And since they know me now, I could probably do that. But Rebecca's energy, at least that evening to me, was akin to the energy of like your favorite school teacher growing up. That was just happy to be there. Would you agree with that assessment at all?
Yeah, and I'd even go deeper and call her Cosmic Mother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she just holds a really beautiful space.
Yeah, like I said, I would give that name to Lisa, too, because of her connection with the cosmos. And I don't know, she seemed like the more stoic, grounded one, and Rebecca was the more animated one, and it was just a perfect mix. So I'm going to keep an eye out for when they co-host events again, because like I said, that was an incredible high without getting high. So there you go.
talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Really, breath, so we can create our own ecstasy, our own DMT in the body. You don't have to take it in a substance.
Yeah.
It's already within the body, and whether you're doing, you know, faster breath or shorter, longer, they'll walk you through that. Have you ever done an elemental breathwork class?
I'm not sure.
My favorite is Ari, and he, like, just an elemental breathwork. They bring you up and then down four times,
okay,
and through each of the elements. But as you're doing that, then you're creating that natural high. And you're high for, I don't know, for me, I just feel high at least for sure into the next day, because I've just moved all that energy,
mm-hmm,
and life force is just flowing through me. So it's a really beautiful way to create a high without the consequences, if that, you know, is something that can help someone.
Absolutely. And I wanted to touch on this earlier. So you talked about how everyone can heal themselves, and for people, for what you're doing and the practice I'm eventually going to be setting up, we're just conduits, yeah, to help people tap into their own awareness and move out what doesn't need to be there. In your estimation, what are some red flags people should look for if they're trying to find a healer or a practitioner to work with? What should people generally avoid? I'm sure you've seen some stuff.
This really warms my heart to talk about this.
Yeah.
Honestly, because it's actually been something I've been thinking about going live and actually talking about, is if the practitioner is speaking to you in a way where they're creating fear, or that you've got an attachment or something that you don't know how to heal or move. Now, there can be some guidance, absolutely, but I have seen, you know, clients have come to me and they're scared out of their mind because of something that someone had said, or they felt like they needed to, you know, do more sessions with them. If you're feeling, or see, think about sales. If they have a solution for you, they have to highlight where your pain is. So then they're the answer, right? To
big
that.
Big pharma, basically.
Totally, yeah. Just in a different way.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, go with what resonates in yourself, and you will feel a soul resonance to someone that is not of fear, that's not of panic. It's almost like it just naturally happens, and you have this beautiful experience when you go, you know, for one of those sessions. I really do think that, you know, pay attention to their social media, and have they done their own inner work? Are they, you know, and this is not to cast judgment on anyone else, but what I feel is that everyone has their own perception or their own lens based on how they were raised. And so you really want to do a little bit more work on their background, their story, their bio, whatever it is, to help you to feel good that, okay, I actually feel in resonance with this person, or this is something that I feel can help me, versus doing it out of a place of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And always check the client testimonials. If there aren't any testimonials on their website, that might be a red flag in and of itself.
Yeah, it can be, unless they don't know how to put them up, but
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, even if you're listening to this and you are a practitioner, it's so helpful to share testimonials. I have them on my website. I've got them, you know, on Instagram as a highlight, so that people can know that other people have had an experience and trusted me, or, you know, it's just, I think peer proof, or proof is really helpful when looking at it for a practitioner as well. But I think it's just really trust your gut. You're going to get an overall experience. I can meet someone and there's just something about them or their energy, and I don't need to read the reviews. Like, I'm like, nope, this is definitely someone that I want to connect with, and you just follow your heart in that sense.
Yep. It's the big thing you got to do at the end of the day. Christine, this is awesome. We're going to go for probably just another 10 to 15 minutes here, because we could probably go another hour and a half if we want to, you know, some of my favorite types of chats for sure. Where I want to go next, kind of, before we start wrapping, and then I think it's enough for today, is I want to go into whatever you're comfortable with sharing in terms of religious trauma and gaslighting. It's a major theme I want to start exploring on this show. Now, listen, I've had religious people on, Christians on, and they've all been great guests, regardless if I've agreed with them or not, or if something scratches an itch on me. That perspective's always welcome, and I'm always open to that, right? But I always feel there's a lot of blind spots, and I just want to explore those blind spots without being overtly judgmental, if that's possible. But before we get into that, I want to circle into something you said about the red flag section. Now, actually, this was just a few days before we met last summer. I went to a tarot reading, and it was someone who I had visited a couple of times in the past, had great experiences with, and thought that their readings were, you know, fairly bang on. That's another thing. Don't take complete stock in one reading or one session with somebody. You gotta explore different perspectives and realize that it's not concrete, set in stone, right? Even with some of my visions and shamanic stuff I have, it's still like subject to change mostly, right? But this was probably the third time I visited this person, and I'm not going to name them because they are local and I'm not into shaming them and their business. But I'll just say this. I shared some things and the reading took a weird turn, and they got really preachy with me and tried to say that my understanding of XYZ was wrong and this is why theirs was right. And to this day, like all these months later, it has not sat well with me. And I don't think I'm ever going to go back to see this person because of that. And overall, it was a good reading. But that part of it really rubbed me the wrong way. So what is the root of all of this preachiness and this control, whether it's a practitioner or a church or a religion? And then how can we tie that into some of the things you went through growing up as a Jehovah's Witness? Because, I mean, it's a very strong basis for who you've become and what you've, like, gotten away from, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel, you know, where that control comes from is more than likely they did not have control growing up. All of us. I think we all, actually, I hold, you know, I don't like to use the term narcissist because I think that is for a special type of person. Yeah. I call people who are controller, like, who have those kinds of tendencies, controllers. They need to be in control to feel safe. And then the empath is the other end of the line. And I think we move back and forth depending on who we're with or who we're chatting with. So it's just looking to see where are you controlling yourself or others first. And where that basis comes from is how you were raised. So if you had a very controlling parent, someone who was like my way or the highway, or they weren't very regulated, or they were cold, and you didn't know how they were emotionally, maybe walked on eggshells, that can be part of your programming, conditioning. Looking at religion, I could talk for days on this, definitely, because it goes back to fear-mongering, definitely, to keep you in a place where you're not feeling very valuable or worthy. And that's really the big thing for all of us, is to take a look at where are we in an old pattern or old conditioning of not feeling worthy on some level, and then think about where's the root, where did that come from? It's not you. It's like being having coats put on you, and now you can take off those layers or those coats, you know, as you have that awareness. But look at, you know, with church and religion, I'll just share, you know, there was a time when we needed to have more rules as a society. Mm-hmm. You know, people were pillaging villages and stuff like that. So there was definitely a need for it. But we have evolved so much.
Now your throat's getting affected, yeah. Lots
That's
to
my
get out.
Deeper,
yeah.
And so really it's, you know, looking at it from that place of control. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. Deep roots.
Got to come out,
We're both clearing our throat chakras.
Okay. Yeah.
So what really helped me to see where in my subconscious I had this very controlling, I'm going to say narcissistic, with the Jehovah's Witness religion, because it's only one way. You are not allowed to talk to other people. They're worldly. They're going to die. It's a lot of escapism. Same with New Age, which I call New Cage.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Sorry. And, you know, that something outside of you is going to save you. Or that you have to act in this way, or if you don't listen to our rules, then you're wrong on some level, or you're out of the tribe. And think about, you know, our basic needs. If you have a threat that you're out of the family or the tribe, that's like basic scarcity root chakra stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2021, I was thankfully introduced to a group on Facebook for, it's called Empowered Minds, and there's now over 10,000 ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that are in that group, and they're healing from being shunned by their families or, you know, just the different things. A lot of sexual abuse, too, actually, within the religion. And so the owner of that group, his name is Rodney, and he has a boot camp on teaching people how to deprogram from the religion. Yeah. And in that, he teaches something called the BITE model, which has to do with mind control. And I'll just go through the acronym. So BITE is your behavior. I is for information, where you're allowed to get information from. T is your thoughts. And then E is emotions. So even in a controlling relationship, if you've been with someone who's been very controlling, they want to pull you away from your family. They're going to move you away, far away. Yeah. They're going to say, you know, you can only visit this friend. You can't visit other friends,
right? I've experienced some of this,
Totally. Yeah. And so they're doing it, well, I feel in relationships, they're doing it to feel safe. As far as religion, I think they're doing it to keep you in the fold or in their environment, right? So that you don't go elsewhere. It's almost like, if you go elsewhere, you're gonna suffer. It's not gonna be as good as it is in here with us, right? So, yeah, just a lot of that with religion.
Yeah. Yeah. Take your time to get it out there. Yeah. one thing I feel is that after what you just got into there, like we're almost out of time, but like I could maybe do an entire show on that, either with yourself or whoever else wants to talk about that. We'll plan that. But one thing you brought up, and I kind of want to end on this note before you plug your stuff and let people know where we can find you. Regardless of what you believe and what you read, I think we can all make some sort of common ground on the fact that when it comes to sexuality, religion is so embarrassingly ass backwards with it, where there's so much sexual repression and yet countless, especially at the upper levels like Vatican and, you know, federal levels, countless stories of sexual abuse for people who, you know, have sworn not to have sex with anyone, and a lot of it with minors, unfortunately. So I kind of want to end on this because I believe you're kind of in this world and you were talking about it earlier. What are some amazing modalities for sexual healing or getting ones in touch with their own sexuality? And I'm not even talking about people who have suffered sexual abuse, but people who want a deeper connection with themselves or with others even.
Mm-hmm. Tantra, for sure, comes into play or into mind. So that is spirituality and sexuality together. So it's not just about the physical release. You are connecting to the divine. It's not just two people, it's three. You're bringing God into it on some level, or source, creator, energy, whatever name you want to give it, but it is definitely more of a spiritual experience. And we have not been taught how to connect on that deep level. Religion, for sure. I mean, oh my goodness, in the Bible, you're not even allowed to touch yourself, right? And there's just so much shame that is connected to that. So I really do feel that by being a part of different communities that are practicing Tantra, and you can go to Tantra parties or Tantra workshops and stuff, I highly recommend, because you're learning how to feel safe in your body. It's always about safety, boundaries, consent. So you're learning basic emotion skills that will help you to be more vulnerable. I think of the strawberry, and this is from an indigenous teaching, where the strawberry is very vulnerable. Like, you know, you can squish a strawberry very easily. But she wears her seeds on the outside. Her lineage is what she wears on the outside. And so when you have boundaries, when you know who you are from the inside, and you know how to read your hell yes and your hell no in your body, but also, you know, when you're turned on or turned off, and you know what that is, no one else can wobble you. No one can throw you off, because you're just so secure from within. And yeah, that was definitely, you know, my first stages, was really learning how to express myself emotionally first. Intimacy, the etymology of that word is into me see, right? So it's so beautiful. It's like you're able to share that softer, vulnerable side of yourself. And I think this is really important. I want to just speak to women right now who are very mm-hmm. controlling or feel like, you know, maybe men have done them wrong or whatever it is, and they're in more of a wounded masculine kind of energy where they're hyper independent, where you feel like you have to do everything yourself. We're really learning how to stand down as women so that the men can rise and lead as well. I think women, you know, there's leadership, whether this is not even gender specific, but like masculine and feminine energy. But, you know, I think being able to know who we are from that sexual place, I think if you can learn how to express yourself in the bedroom, your kinks, your likes, your dislikes, you know, moaning, that's something that's hard for people as well. Yeah. We were taught to be quiet, right? Yeah. But you need that for a really deep orgasm. And so being able to learn how to connect to your own body, you will be confident in every other relationship in your life, in your business, in your family, because you know that deeper part of yourself. And so, you know, it's just an encouragement for people to reach out and find a community that's teaching this deeper emotional kind of work, because you'll learn about yourself. I feel it will help heal addictions, because think about, you know, addictions really is your cortisol and your adrenaline that's at a high level. Well, what if you can learn your, you know, learn more about yourself in the bedroom, or spiritual BDSM or kink or something, where you're allowing that cortisol and that adrenaline to rise, but without the consequence, because it's fun. You're learning about yourself. So it's a really good way to get high naturally and learn about yourself, you know, but really just stepping into that sacred place. There's tantra festivals you can go to. I teach some classes as well. The class that, you know, was downloaded for me from God, Spirit, is called Naked Alchemy. And it's really the truth of who you are, speaking your authentic truth. So I like using birth charts. So it's like, who are you first? And then what are your patterns? What are your crappy habits that you have, mm-hmm. right? If you know what they are and where they came from, you can trip them up a lot easier. Intimacy, sacred sexuality, conscious kink, like all of that is connected. And I feel even in relationships, a lot of people feel alone in relationships. And that was a fear that I had growing up. And I really do believe it's because I was meant to do this work. You know, teaching people how to communicate in and out of the bedroom. And as you do that work and you learn more about yourself, it becomes exciting. And now you have, you know, a connection to your person that goes way beyond, like, you have no shadow of a doubt that they have your back. But look at all of the relationships, or when, you know, we had relationships where we broke up, is because we probably felt too scared to share our actual truth and what we really wanted. Here's an example. You know, if you wanted to give your loved one a massage and you say, hey, honey, I'll give you a massage, you have to look at, again, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you want connection? So you're actually not giving, you're taking connection.
Right?
But if you say, hey, hon, I would love to have some connection with you. Would you like a massage, or do you want to cuddle and give the option? Now your honest desire is being known. You're not having to manipulate it or make it look pretty. In order to get your need met, you feel safe from within to ask exactly for what you want.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. And this is a subject, actually, I think I could dive deeper on at a later time. So, cause it's just about time to wrap up. And Christine, thank you again for the time, the environment, the timing, everything was just perfect, perfectly aligned. And, I want to get you to tell the true believers where they can find you, connect with you. And I have a question for you. Okay, so you mentioned the birth charts. You and I are kind of in the middle of setting that up right now, and what I've seen so far has been pretty amazing. But my man Gio, who was on last week on the Consciousness Cafe, we were talking off the air about this because he's really big into astrology. And then he heard yours was maybe a bit more numerology-based, and he was really fascinated. He's actually really interested in booking one of these with you virtually because he's in like South Central Jersey. So tell us where they can find you. What do you offer in person, and do you offer them virtually? Can my man in Jersey get a birth chart reading from you potentially?
I love that. My man. Yes, yeah. Definitely online and in person. I like doing sessions in person because there's just a deeper connection that you can have with someone.
Yeah, and just to cut you off real quick, we do cast a worldwide net with this show, so if someone wants to connect with you, may not be able to be in person. So as long as you're open to that.
Yeah, for sure. And so on my website under book appointment, there is a spot there too for your birth chart. If you want just your personal, then that one is there. And then if you want a business reading, you actually get two sessions. So then what I'm doing is I'm recording, this is who you are. Your birth chart doesn't really change. And so when you have that, then you can listen back to it and you can always come back, whether it's you're creating a new offer in your business or it's a new moon ceremony or something, and you can listen back to gain new insights on something you didn't hear the first time or it's ready to land now for your situation. So on my website is oasisofhealingspa.com. I'm on Instagram as well there. And then the services are on the website. For me, as far as like what I do, I'll just explain what the birth chart is and why I feel it's important. It's why you're here. It's the energy of the stars and the planets when you were born. And so I have been studying human design, quantum human design, and I do like that, but I really do, you know, connect more to true sky astrology as opposed to horoscope. Horoscope has 28 days, and it has its purpose. I see it as above, so below, and I think our horoscope's more of our shadow aspects, and the harder things that you go through, look at the shadow of the planet, especially in human design. It's really neat to see. And there's cosmic human design, which matches the true sky, which is really neat. The parts that I've really been having fun with are taking your sun sign and what that body part is and connect that to your purpose and why you're here. And all of the zodiacs rule a certain body part. I add in numerology, not only just your life path, but your destiny number is connected to your name. And I think those two are probably the most important out of everything I'm looking at, is what is your destiny, the energy of your name as on your birth certificate, and your life path number, and merge those two together. And then in the years, so your personal year is what you're going through. So right now for 2024, we're in a collective 8. For my birthday, I'm in a 7 year. So I'm a life path 3, all about communication and expression. But this year I'm in a 7. So I'm actually learning more about inner, deeper work. I'm gathering more knowledge. Next year I'll be in an 8, which, you know, I'll really step into my authority. 9s, I want to nurture the 9s because 9 is all about completion and endings and death before your 1 year, which is your rebirth. So it's just like when you know even the year that you're in and the energy that it is, or when you had like a big breakup or, you know, something really horrible happened to you and you know what energy you were in that year, it'll make more sense. Mm-hmm. Just energetically. And then playing cards. So whatever the card is of the person, so there's 4 suits, and I'll just share this quickly. You know, clubs are here as the intellects, the logical thinkers, but they're here to learn emotional skills. Okay, they don't have that. I'm a diamond, and so as a diamond, we're here to help build systems, and I see that totally in the way that my brain works. I'm, you know, someone just needs to share with me their passion, and it's like, oh, here, you know, this is how you can create a whole business from your birth chart, right? And then hearts are here for love, definitely teach us emotions, and they're the party people, they're the connectors. And then spades are the spiritual intellectuals, they're really the true psychics and those who are here to help us with the deeper meaning of life.
That's all good stuff. Christine, thank you for the time. We'll definitely be doing round 2, I think, somewhere down the road. And just before I leave, true believers, next week it's a big episode for the show because my new co-host, Lauren Holder, is finally making her debut. It's just aligned this way. And our guest, we might be having some repeat themes on next week's show because we are talking with that witch, Karina. And
awesome.
Yeah, you know her?
I love her. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Cool. I've just started to get to know her online. She started following me a while back, and we've been trading back and forth, and I've listened to some of her podcast, which is on hold right now. But yeah, she also grew up in a deeply religious home, and she's doing card readings and doing some similar path design, human design stuff as well, all tying together. Unfortunately, True Believers, I have to cut that one a little short, so we're probably only going to go maybe 40 to 45 minutes because we had to reschedule the recording due to illnesses to Karina and Laura, and the day I rescheduled, I was booked in something, so I have to absolutely leave by a certain time. So it's going to be a shorter one, but bear with me, it'll be good. And you know what to do, stay strong, stay healthy, and of course, stay curious. This has been another edition of the Consciousness Cafe. We'll talk soon.